So we pray, Heavenly Father, we're grateful that we can lift up our hands unto you, knowing that this is right to do, that you granted us this privilege of lifting unto you. For you, as your psalmist said, blessed is the man whom thou chooses and causes to approach unto thy throne. We believe that this afternoon, Lord, and we're grateful for it. We pray now that you who are in our midst will grant that that same spirit by which you're known, the spirit of wisdom, revelation, and the knowledge of you, may impart to us what we need to know in such sobriety and in depth and such impression that we will be recipients, Lord, of the imprint of it deep within our lives until it eradicates all other imprints, for this is what we so desire. Bless everyone here in divine presence. Appreciate, Lord, them coming from afar to worship, Lord, sincere, and cares upon their hearts for others. We are glad, Lord, to know that the bride does love and is concerned, and we know that above all you are much more concerned and loving than we would ever hope to be. So we thank you that you're here with your love, your grace, and your mercy revealing yourself. And we're just so thankful that we're in that number. We just, our earnest expectation now is of you, Lord, to teach us in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Certainly nice to be here with you this afternoon. And of course, it's a little bit of what you might call a little trial to see just how it's going to work out with an afternoon service. Of course, it could be once a month. It could be more often, depending on how the response is. Because after all, I don't know that there's any special place in the Bible that tells us we've got to meet at a certain time, except we do know that it was dark when they went to the table of the Lord. It was dark when the Passover lamb was slain. So we do have a precedence there as to the hour. Of course, someone might say it was early morning when they went out and found Jesus. Well, I guess that's okay, but it's kind of late at night when some others found him too. So we can't go by, guesswork. We just don't know. If the time works out good, we can continue. We'll talk about that more this afternoon after service. We'll be here quite a while today, because I want to have a little business meeting with you, and we'll have the table of the Lord afterward. And that's going to take a bit of time. But now I want to bring you what is really number three in why he is present. And we're building up to various reasons why he is present. And we're still dealing with the issue that the Old Testament prophecies demanded. Now, that's very important, because if there's nothing in the Old Testament, I would say there's no reason to think you see it in the New Testament. Because, you see, it's one God. Jehovah of the old is the Jesus of the new. And if that's the case, then Jesus is not the man that was born. You're not talking about the man that was born. You're talking about Jesus, who is Jehovah's Savior, who is Elohim, who is El Elah, whichever way you want to put it. And in other words, he's the great original God, in the beginning God. Now, that's the beginning of all beginnings. I know we can argue back and forth whether Genesis is number one or whether John 1 is number one. Who cares? Long as I am in him who is in the beginning, I got no problem. You know, come on, you can run yourself ragged. And there's just no point. The thing is, we do know that Jehovah of the old is the Jesus of the new, and God cannot be born. We don't have a new God. We do not have a God of evolution. Although there is an evolution involved on the grounds that he is ever revealing himself. The one that is becoming, you see. In other words, always coming on the scene, always revealing himself in the measure and the way that is necessary. So, this, when we talk about his presence, and we're basically starting as though we're starting all over again, we're building on the understanding that he is here because Old Testament prophecies demand it. And so, in this message, we'll try to bring together, or will bring together, the two prophecies of Isaiah, wherein it is said that the Gentiles would one day be heirs to the same ministry of Jesus as was Israel. Now, you see, that's a blank statement, which is a conclusion from Scripture. And we're not drawing conclusions as though we're surmising something. It is actually said. You see? Now, that ministry which I refer to is the ministry which God manifested in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ on earth 2,000 years ago, and is again manifesting it in this hour to the Gentiles. Now, there again, is there Scripture that categorically says it? Now, of course, I've warned you already that anybody can make the Bible say what it wants to say. That's true. So they could say, well, you're just saying that. Well, I'm saying it because a vindicated prophet said it. In fact, he said, God is obligated. And he based it upon Hebrews 13 and 8. Now, of course, in teaching, my obligation, I mean, what I see is the obligation of God to do that, which the prophet said, I would not use Hebrews 13 and 8. I would use Hebrews 13 and 8 to prove who is doing it. I would use other scriptures where he's obligated. And this is what I'm doing today, which is fine because it's all part and parcel of the message. Now, in fact, we go beyond the statement that he must do for the Gentiles or will do for the Gentiles in his spirit what he did by the same Holy Spirit in one person called the Lord Jesus Christ. We go beyond that statement by saying that what could not be done 2,000 years ago because it was not the hour for it, that is to be done by that person, that is to be done by Jehovah or Elohim who manifested himself in flesh. It wasn't the hour to do certain things then which would be related to that specific thing that he was doing, but he would do it 2,000 years later. You follow? So now is the time, the hour has arrived for that. So we're saying here that there is in the Old Testament, the Scripture, that positively shows that Brother Branham was giving us the truth from the Word concerning the fact that God had obligated himself. Now, what do you mean obligate? Well, is God obligated to anybody? No. God is obligated to himself. Then if he said something about anybody, he's obligated to that person by what he said.
Amen.
So if he said something to the Gentiles, he's obligated to do it. And if he put it based upon the ministry of himself in human flesh and said, this is for now, but here is something else contingent, then he's obligated to do what he said based on and contingent to whatever he was doing then at a certain other date. Right? Okay, as long as you follow me. Now, that wasn't a Philadelphia lawyer talking. I was just trying to get everything in. I know the only man living who could ever give a 15-hour sentence was the late, what was his name anyway, that got in a fight with everybody. He was the most, anyway, he was an editor. Doesn't matter anyway. But anyway, he was the only man who could go for hours like the Apostle Paul and bring the sentence out. I never could figure Paul out a lot of times by his long sentences. So I hope you didn't get thrown by the wayside in that long sentence. Now, the two portions of Scripture that refer specifically to the Gentiles are Isaiah 42:1-7 and Isaiah 61:1-3. Now, those are the Scriptures we used, so we're going to go back again today. And remember, repetition is the key to getting an understanding, you know, of what you really want to understand very specifically. All right? Here we read. Behold my servant whom I uphold, mine elect in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him, and he shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. Now, you know specifically, without us going any further, that he's talking about a prophet. Because there's no other way you can... He's not talking about redemption. See? And he shall not cry nor lift, nor cause his voice be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, the smoking flax he'll not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail nor be discouraged till he have said judgment in the earth. And the isles shall wait for his law. Now, with this, you will notice a sovereignty of this one's ability to bring forth the results or what the word indicates. Now, no prophet per se ever had that power. So you are talking about a very, 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 very special type of person. Now just keep that in mind. Thus saith the Lord God, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, and he that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath unto the people upon it, and the spirit to them that walk therein. I, the Lord, have called thee this person in righteousness, and will hold thine hand and keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light to the Gentiles. To open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. Now there's more things to that than just what I read, but let's go to Isaiah 61. Now watch. Over here, behold my servant, mine elect, I have put my spirit upon him. Now watch this language. The spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Because the Lord has anointed me to preach the good tidings to the meek. And the meek in the New Testament is a pilgrim, tent dweller. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the day of the vengeance of our God, to comfort them that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes. Now the comforting of them that mourn is Zion. Zion is the bride. The bride is the body. See? To give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil, the joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness. Righteous trees can't be cut down. The only righteous tree ever cut down was Jesus. And he was a righteous tree that was cut down for you and me. But there's a group of trees that can't be cut down. It was death that cut Jesus down. And it was sin. It made that death possible. He became sin for us. We're not going to get cut down. Oh, let's start running and screaming. I'm not a Pentecostal fanatic. And I'm not a shouting Southern Baptist. But I am a born-again Christian. I'm not against you screaming and shouting in the right places. Not that I'll get you screaming in the right places. I just get prone myself. As I told you, see, death, I don't care if death stares in the face. I ain't got nothing to do with that. You know, you understand what I'm saying here. I know I'm up here crazier than a hoot owl. Nuttier than a loon to people who don't know what I'm saying. Before God, I line up. There's something in my heart that doesn't have a thing to do with death. I could die tomorrow. But I have nothing to do with it. Do you understand what I'm saying? Look, it's a revelation. I don't know. It's something that comes down. It's something that does something. That they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. A step of glorification of God is to have a people that don't die. Now, we're going to take the scriptures and weave them back and forth. First, we notice that the two prophecies refer to the same person. Behold my servant whom I uphold, mine elect in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. Okay. Isaiah 61, the spirit of the Lord God is upon me. See? Because he hath anointed me to preach the good tidings unto the meek, sent me to bind a broken heart, to proclaim liberty, and so on. Now, you will notice this is the same person, absolutely, from the book of Matthew and Luke. We go to Matthew 12. But when Jesus knew it, they took counsel to destroy him. Verse 15, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all, and charged them that they should not make him known, that it might be fulfilled, as spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, behold my servant, whom I have chosen. That's Isaiah 42. My beloved, whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, the smoking flax not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory, and in his name shall the Gentiles trust. Now that's the one that Isaiah 42 was speaking of, and that's Jesus. All right. Isaiah 62. Pardon me, 61. So we go to Luke, the fourth chapter, and we read verse 16. Verse 14, Jesus returned in the power of Spirit into Galilee, and he taught in their synagogues, and he came to Nazareth, his old hometown, where he'd been brought up. Verse 16, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue in the Sabbath day, and stood up for to read, and there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he'd opened the book, he found the place where it is written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he anointed me to proclaim the gospel to the poor, sent me to heal the brokenhearted, preach deliverance to captives, recovering the sight to the blind, to set every them that are bruised, to preach except for the ear of the Lord. And he closed the book and gave the minister. All eyes were upon him. Verse 21, he began to say, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Now, it absolutely is the same person that is spoken of. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Now, number 2A, the second point, A part. We notice that Isaiah 42, 1B and 6 are specific references to the same person who is ministering at that time to the Gentiles. Now, let's go back. Isaiah 42. Now, we notice Isaiah 42, 1b. All right, 42, 1b. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. Verse 6. And give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles. Now, they are specific references to the person who is ministering at that time to the Gentiles. Now, these are specific references of the one who ministers to the Gentiles. I don't care if he ministers to Israel or he ministers I don't care if he went to the tip of South Africa. No way am I bothered. Now, see, it tells you there. Now, the B part of number 2. Nothing is said in Isaiah 61 as to what people this same person is ministering to. Now let's go to Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to do so and so and so and so. To repent except the ear of the Lord. And to comfort all that mourn. Now, they could say, well, verse 3 will tell you that that's Israel. Well, you could use that if you wanted to. But that's way down the road in our understanding. But those verses are not specific in telling you exactly where he is ministering and to whom he's ministering, unless you wanted to use that particular portion. Now, let's go over there but we find it over in Luke, the fourth chapter, which we got into a little bit ago, and we keep going into 16 and 17. He came to Nazareth. He went in the synagogues as to Israel, and he stood up to read the book of Isaiah, and he said to those people who sat there in verse 21, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. So we know specifically that even though there is not the mention of Israel in the going to the people of Israel at that specific time, though there is a hint of it in the third verse, we know positively that this is that same person. What we're trying to do here is to show you every way, shape, and form we can that the one who was to mention to go to Israel and did go to Israel had an obligation by Scripture to come and appear to the Gentiles. We'll show you because the time element of Scripture proves it. Number 3, the purpose of the two ministries to the two different people are very similar as to some of their effects. Now, let's go back to Isaiah 42 and 7. See, we just go back and forth because that's all we can do. in the 7th verse. It is to the Gentiles to open blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and to them that sit in darkness of the prison house. Now, with that, we go to Isaiah 61. And we go to the first verse, the B part. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison to them that are bound. All right. You can see there's great similarities between the two. That he is going to literally do something in a certain field which positively runs parallel in both groups of people and to both groups of people. Number 4. The end results of these two ministries to the two groups may be set forth as A, Isaiah 41b, 42b and 4. Alright, B. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. Now the 4th verse. He shall not fail nor be discouraged till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isle shall wait for his law. Now watch carefully what is being said here. And I'll explain it as I go down the road. Now, he shall bring forth judgment. Now concerning that judgment, he shall not fail nor be discouraged till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isle shall wait for his law. That's to the Gentiles. Now, to Israel, he says in verse 2, the first part, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Now, let me assure you, if this is true, there was to come to Israel an acceptable year. Consequently, everything preceding it would be unacceptable. But because you can't have two acceptable things running at one time, neither can you have God coming on the scene with that which is acceptable, if that which on the scene is already acceptable. Now you know he says, away with your sacrifices and become a smoke in my nostrils. See, so you can tell it just wasn't working anymore. Alright, that was 4. Two ministries. The end result of these two ministries to the two groups. Judgment given to the Gentiles, and he would not fail to bring it from the time that he starts it. But over here, he stops something and starts something. All right. Number 5. His manner of conducting his ministry to the two peoples is radically different from each other. The two ministries, their conduct, though their similarities, are radically different. Isaiah 42:2-3. He shall not cry nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break. The smoking flax shall not quench. Till he shall bring forth judgment unto truth. All right. Isaiah 62. And 1-2a. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach the good tidings to the meek. Doesn't say that over yonder. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives. I said something about that. The opening of the prison and the bound says something about that. To proclaim to accept the year of the Lord doesn't say a thing about that. Or he doesn't even say a thing about the vengeance of our God. But you notice the 3rd verse over there goes on, or the 3rd verse here, combined over yonder, goes on to talk about comforting to those that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion. Now that's way down the road. So you've got a ministry that came together, split, and comes together again. You follow what I'm saying? You didn't get it. I'll tell it again. This one, the prophecies are concerning two groups of people, two ministries by the one person, which is God. Now notice there's a split. They start in a similarity, they split, and they come together in a similarity. Now, just keep it in mind. Just keep it in mind. We'll start doing something more and more with it. All right. Now, we go to some New Testament on that. In Matthew 11 and 20, then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done because they repented not. Woe unto you, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! Now, if that's not wrangling in the streets, I don't know what wrangling is. Well, said he wouldn't do that, Gentiles. Yeah, I hope you're thinking. I hope you're thinking as you never thought before, because look, I'll bring it up. Don't worry. Just let your minds go for a while. Just because some of these things are just so fantastic. It's plumb out of this world how the prophet taught it. And we're just doing the same thing today. John 7, 37 to 39. In the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried. He bellowed out, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth in me, as the scripture said, out of his belly shall flow rivering water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, because the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified." All right. You can see the radical difference. In one place he's wrangling. In one place he's striving. In one place he's rebuking. He's lifting his voice up. But in the next place he's not. You don't even see him.
Right.
Don't hear him in the streets. He's not making a public show. Six. And this is very important. In Isaiah 61, 1 to 2. And in Luke 4, 18 to 21. And you know them. He cuts off his ministry as to his personal presence, purpose, and effect to Israel, so that at his next personal appearing, there is judgment. Isaiah 61, 2b. And to proclaim the day of the vengeance of our God. That was to be announced and entered into. His first appearance, end of the law, ushering in grace. His second appearance, ending law and bringing judgment. Now remember, the judgment in Isaiah 62 is not the judgment of Isaiah 42. No, sir. No, sir, you better be careful to watch this. I'll show you why, don't worry. Now, we're going to read a whole chapter of Romans 11, like I've done before. Because I want to show you what I'm coming up to, why this is as I see it is in the Word of God. Now remember, we're talking about Zion, as well as Israel. And we're talking about a church. Pardon me, we're talking about a bride within a church. Hear this, Ed? Zion within Israel. All are not Israel who are called by Israel, and all are not church who are called by church. There's a bride within the church. You follow this, Ed? I just keep your minds and try to follow me the best you can. Romans 11 chapter. And Paul says here, "So I say then, had God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, the tribe of Benjamin. Jehovah hath not cast away his people." The word God there is Jehovah. "Hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Do ye not know what the scripture says of Elijah? How he make intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have digged down my prophets, and killed thy prophets. And they have digged down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. What saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. So, even this present time also is there a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace then it is no more of works, Otherwise, grace is no more works. Notice the acceptable year of the Lord. Under the fifth seal, Israel will come in. And the remnant under the sixth seal, the 144,000, and Israel that's not Israel, will be destroyed. Just like church which is not church will be destroyed. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest is blinded. According as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, ears that they should not hear unto this day. None of you haven't got the kind of eyes that see and the ears that hear. What good are they? Nothing. And David said, let their table be made a snare and a trap and a stumbling block and a recompense unto them. In other words, reap what they sow. Let their eyes be darkened, they may not see, and bow down their back always. I say then, if they stumble, that they should fall. God forbid, but rather through their fall, salvation has come to the Gentiles, for to provoke them to jealousy. Now, if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? Now, look, they're going to come to a place of fullness. For I speak to Gentiles inasmuch as I am the apostle of Gentiles and magnify mine office. If by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh and might save some of them. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the word, what should be the receiving of them but life from the dead? Now that tells you right there that when Israel gets back in the homeland, there'll be a resurrection. See? For if the first root be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. Remember, the first resurrection took place in Jerusalem. That's where it took place. It was in Jerusalem the dead came out of the grave, not someplace else. That's why Joseph wanted these bones back there and Jacob, the whole bunch of them. All right, Jesus came out of the ground in Jerusalem. Now, when they get back there, you watch the first fruits of Israel will come up too. And if some of the branches be broken off, and now being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, with them partakes the root and fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches, and if thou boast, thou bearest not the root of the root thee. Then people try to tell you that the coming of the Gentiles is indiscriminate. The number of branches broken off will be the exact number of the Gentiles grafted in, as far as I'm concerned. God's not indiscriminate. But thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief they are broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. Now, is he talking to a bride? No way. He's talking to Gentiles, period, across the board. Just the same as he talked to Israel across the board. And though he died for the Gentiles, and the Spirit of God moves amongst the Gentiles, doesn't mean all the Gentiles are coming in no way, shape, or form, any more than all Israel comes in. It's whatever God predestinated are going to come in. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. On them that fell severity, but toward thee goodness. If thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou shalt be cut off. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in. For God is able to graft them in again. For if thou wert cut out of the olive tree which is wild by nature, and graft contrary to nature in a good olive tree, how much more shall these which be the natural branch be grafted in their own olive tree? Now you see whose life we're living on. On the life of God. Original life of Elohim. For I would not, brethren, you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you be wise in your own conceits of blindness in part has happened to Israel, until the fullness of Gentiles be come in. Until the last elected Gentile is in and child trained, God cannot turn to Israel in redemption. And the 144,000 got to be on earth right now just waiting for that time. And so all Israel shall be saved. Now all Israel is not Israel. It's only those that come down by legitimate seed. There shall come out of Zion to deliver. And shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. Now notice the deliverer, the redeemer, is the one that's doing it. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins, as concerning the gospel, their enemies for your sakes, but as concerning the election, they are beloved of the Father's sake. For the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. See, Judah has always had a king. But they killed their king, and the king rose, and he's still king. Amen. See, people don't believe the Bible. They make this go and that go, get Britishers, or get all the junk piled in, and God knows, still simple understanding, everything comes up. For as ye in time past have not obeyed God, that word is obeyed, yet ye have now obtained mercy through their disobedience. Even so have these also now not obeyed, that through your mercy they also might obtain mercy. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy on all. Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, unsearchable are his judgments, and his ways past finding out, who hath known the mind of the Lord, who hath been his counselor, who hath first given him and shall not be recompensed unto again. For of him and through him and to him are all things, to him be glory forever. Amen. Now, with that, we go to Zechariah. And I'll put it together for you so you don't need to worry. Just listen and follow along what is being read. And if I give you a little thought, you just pick it up. 6 and 7, Zechariah 13. And one shall say unto him, what are these wounds in thy hands? Then he shall answer, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, the sheep will be scattered, and I will turn my hands upon the little ones. Now, right there you understand the prophecy concerning his death. The chief shepherd. And Israel doesn't understand the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. But they'll see it later in great fear. Daniel 9, 24 to 27. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city, to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth is the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto Messiah, the Prince of Peace, 7 weeks, and 62 weeks, that's exactly 69 weeks. Now, there's 7 and 62, make 69. The street shall be built again, the wall even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks of Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. Now it tells you right there that 70 weeks is all Israel has. And there's a period of 7 and 62 that brings it to 69. So there's only 1 week left. See? The 7 had to do with building the walls of Jerusalem and the old temple. The 62 had to belong to those that continued to 70, which was the next week when Christ was cut off. So in the middle of the 70th week, 69 and a half weeks are gone for Israel. In the middle of the 70th week, God's relationship with Israel ceased. And they've only got a half a week to go. 3.5 years is all Israel's got left. I don't care what anybody says. The relationship to God, because of blindness, they crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. And the relationship ceased. Actually, in the year 53, they had a little spell where they could come in, and the relationship stopped and will not resume the relationship of God through Messiah until he shows his hands and 144,000 come in. All right, now Daniel 12, 1 to 3. At that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which stands with children of the people, thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even at the same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. Some be everlasting life, and some shame and contempt. They that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. They that turn many righteous as the stars forever and ever. And verse 7, I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters river, which he held up his right hand to heaven, his left hand to heaven, swear by him that lives forever and ever, that there should be for a time, times and a half. That's 3.5 years. And when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, till all these things be finished. And it says, once Israel scattered, 70 A.D., 3.5 years, all they got left. Now, what I'm trying to show you here is that when this great one started to deal with Israel, he dealt for 3.5 years as a person. Came back as the Holy Ghost in 33 and a half, and left Israel in 53 and a half. Space about a half an hour. Right? See, all these things jive. Everything has meanings and extra meanings in Scripture. And that time God turned from Israel. Now he will turn back to Israel again in the 3.5 years of judgment and bring out 144,000. And he'll stand there amongst them. He'll lead the bride at the marriage supper, and he'll go down according to the prophet, because the Gentile bride was left in the palace, and they'll see, here I am. And they'll say, oh boy, are we in for it? Just like in the time of Joseph. All right. Now, let's go back to Isaiah 42. And I want to show you exactly what I'm coming to, what I'm drawing to. 1-4. Behold my servant whom I am uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him, and he shall not go as a lamb to the slaughter, no sir. There's no except for the ear of the Lord, says about this here. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, lift up his voice, heard in the street, bruised reed, nope, break smoking flash, not clenched, till he bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail to be discouraged. He hath set judgment in the earth, and the isle shall wait for his law. Thus saith the Lord. And I said, I am the great creator, and I put my spirit in people, and I, the Lord, have called in righteousness, and hold thine hand, will keep thee and give thee for covenant to the people, for light to the Gentiles. To open blind eyes, bring up prison from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. I am the Lord, and so on. Now, notice especially verse 4. He shall not fail, nor be discouraged. Now that tells you flat that when he starts, he won't stop. And no condition will turn him aside. Well, he got turned aside in Israel, didn't get turned aside here. You following saying? All right. Then verses 5 and 7 to 7. Thus saith the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth, he that come and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath unto the people upon it, even spirit to them that walk therein. And that's right, Brother Ben said, child's born. He's not living, that spirit comes in. But that's not the Holy Spirit, that's the Spirit allowed of God. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, will hold thine hand, will keep thee, give thee for covenant to the people, for a light to the Gentiles. Now the peoples is Gentiles. To open blind eyes, to bring out of the prisoners, bring out the prisoner from the prison, and to them that sit in darkness, out of the prison house, I am the Lord, this is my name, and so on. Now, let's keep reading. Neither my praise to graven images, Roman Catholic Church. Behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell them to you. Who tells them? God tells them. Based on what? This man. That takes another prophet. But the same ministry. Absolutely. God won't tell a thing about secret unless he got a prophet. Now I know the fundamentalist does not believe that, and I believe it's just seeping into our minds. The magnitude of God's plan brought to our attention, so simple. God sent a prophet, that meant God was there. Amen. See? Just that simple. See? Now, behold, the former things are come to pass, and the new things do I declare. Now he tells you the former things said here about this one, and the prophecy concerning have come to pass, and before this springs forth, what I'm going to do, I'm going to tell you about it too. You follow me? Now come on, let's understand this. He had a John the Baptist. He's got an allergy. See, people don't want to believe the Bible. They won't, because you know what? They got ears, but not no hearing. They got eyes and no seeing. What good does that do you? Tongue that doesn't taste? Stomach that won't digest food? Man, you're dead and don't know. Why don't you just lie down? Sing unto the Lord a new song, and he's praised from the end of the earth. Ye that go down to the sea, and all that is therein, the isles, the inhabitants thereof. That's one break in the ministry of Jesus to the Gentiles. from Acts 13:46 to 48 to 1 Thessalonians 4:13 and Revelation 19:11. Now let's go to the book of Acts so you begin to see what I'm talking about here. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, that's for chapter 13 of Acts, verse 46. It was necessary the word of God should first be spoken to you Jews. But seeing you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. Now the special ministry of the Spirit to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be like to the Gentiles, that thou shouldst be salvation unto the ends of the earth. Salvation until when? Unto the ends. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as regained eternal life believed, and the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. Now, let's go to 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter. You begin to see what I'm getting into here. 13th verse. I would not have you ignorant brethren concerning them which are asleep, that the sorrow not, even as others have no hope. Now he's telling you something. There's a time when the living and the dead are going to mingle. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring forth with him. For thus saith the Lord. This he said by the word of the Lord, that's thus saith the Lord. That we which are alive and remain unto the presence of the Lord shall not take a preeminence over them which sleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we three are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another. Now let's go to Revelation 19. Verse 11, I saw heaven open, behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him was called faithful and true. In righteousness does he judge and make war. His eyes a flame of fire, his head as it were had many crowns. He had a name written no man knew but he himself. Clothed the vesture dipped in blood, his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, that's the saints. All right, what I'm trying to show you is Isaiah 42. This is not Isaiah 62. It's the same person, the same God, with ministries to the two groups of people. Okay, Isaiah 42. I'll get it in just a second now. Behold my servant, mine elect. Look at him. Take a look at him. Behold him. He's in plain view. And he was to the Gentiles the first age, mine elect, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. That's that great prophet, the great redeemer. Now, he shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. Now watch. He shall not cry. Lift up his voice. Lift up. Cause his voice to be heard in the street. The bruised reed he won't break. Smoking flax he'll not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail nor be discouraged till. You see what I'm trying to tell you? With the Gentiles, he starts the work and finishes it. Puts it right here in the millennium. With Israel, he started the work. Cut it off. Goes back to them. Now the same one that was there, back in flesh, starts coming into the Gentile church in the beginning with the complete full revelation. They got the Gentiles also blind themselves. But remember, in their blinding, they are not cast aside. He doesn't turn from them. Even when he says under that seal, he said, do not spoil the oil and the wine. Don't cut it off, that little tiny measure. He said, don't you kill it. Under the Catholic Church, saving men's souls with giving money and all that kind of junk. He said, no. He's not discouraged. See, he's not failing. He's going to have a bride. And he deals with this bride straight from 53 to her glorification. He's never cut off. But he comes more and more into the church by the Holy Ghost until he stands there in the last day. The same God that ministered to Israel. See? And had to cut it off. Does not cut off the Gentile church. See? That's why he appears in grace and mercy. And people running around say, oh, I could be in the tribulation. I could be this. Would you go ahead be my guest? I believed that nonsense for several years. Sold a cruddy bill of goods by people ought to know better. Even Daddy Bosworth was messed up in that hogwash. See, the bride does not go through judgment.
Amen.
He deals with her under every extreme condition until he brings her and sets her right back on this earth, reigning and ruling over the whole thing. Now, see, that's Isaiah. That's where you get the Thessalonians. That's why people can't see the same God in two ministries obligated to come to the Gentiles. Let me tell you flat. If that God did not come to the Jews in salvation, we wouldn't have it and they wouldn't have it. And if that same God didn't appear back to Israel and show them his hands, they still wouldn't have it. See? Notice how the ministries are. One's cut off, and one's not cut off. I'm talking about election. Not that bunch of hybrids out there. Oh, I got a lot of things to say about that if I can unwind sometime. I don't know. All right. Let's go back to Isaiah 42. And we see a little more here. Isaiah 42, 1-8. Behold my servant whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul letteth. I have put my spirit upon him. Now, which is the same as Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach the good tidings. Now the one of whom it has been said has appeared in flesh. Can you see what he does? When he comes back in the fullness of the Spirit, he doesn't do the same thing. See, two ministries. Now, the one in Isaiah 62:1a is Luke 4:16, is the prophet like unto Moses. He goes to Israel and with vindicated proclamation and confrontation presents himself as the prophet and Messiah Lamb. Now let's find out what he says. I'm that one, I'm that Messiah Lamb, I'm that prophet. Okay. John 5:45-47. Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuses you, even Moses, in whom you trust. Oh, brother. Do you realize that great day when they come up, Moses is going to stand there? You know, a lot of people don't know what's going on. We're dealing with the living God. For had ye believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote me. But ye believe not his writings. But if you believe not his writings, how are you going to believe my words? See, they didn't look for him. John 6:48-51. I am that bread of life. Your fathers ate manna and they're dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall eat, live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. And the Jews got mad. All right. He announces grace, the acceptable year of the Lord, based upon who he was in Isaiah 61. All right? That's John 10:27-30. That's also John 6, which I read. My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all. And no man said to pluck him out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. John 11:25-26. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. First resurrection. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. You won't even have to die for that one. Believest thou this? Now he announces the acceptable year of the Lord, which is, it starts with the resurrection, because those people back there in the graves, they believed the coming one. And he would come down and confront them, and he would raise them, and the day of grace ends with the same resurrection.
Praise God.
Right? All right. Now, with Israel turning from God and the acceptable year of the Lord announced, what happens to Jesus in the meantime? Now, these are good questions. Makes you think the seventh seal? The seals are open? Our brother Branham said temple fills with smoke? See, this takes you back to the seals. Okay? Let's go to Hebrews 7. 23 to 25. And they truly were many priests because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continues ever, hath an unchanging priesthood. Wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost. That's completely saved. All that come unto God by him, which absolutely means because of him, you will be in that first resurrection. See? Seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Hebrews 10, 4 to 14. For it's not possible the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh in the word, he said, sacrifice and offering thou wouldst not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifice for sin thou hast no pleasure. Then said I, lo, in the body of the book I come, it is written to me to do thy will, O God. And when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offering for sin thou wouldst not, neither had pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He takes away the first, that he may establish the second. Now notice how he takes away one to establish another. The law was given by Moses, grace and truth came by Jesus Christ, when John was an interim. Introduction. We've got an introduction going on right now to take the gospel back to Israel. Time is running out. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest that stands daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifice which can never take away sin. But this man, after he'd offered one sacrifice for sins, ever sat down the right hand of God. From henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering hath he sanctified forever. For perfect forever them that are sanctified. Now, Messiah, at the time of his sojourn, was prophet, lamb, and now he's high priest. But he's also lamb and high priest. Because the wounds never disappear, and the sacrifice never goes. Now, let's go back to Isaiah 42 and 1 again. Because that's what we're here for, to learn these scriptures. Behold my servant whom I uphold, mine elect in whom my soul delighteth. I put my spirit upon him. Now this one here, prophet to the Gentiles. Okay. Now, this one, the servant, is Matthew 3. Now, he's a servant. He calls him that. Matthew 3, 13 to 17. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan to be baptized of John, and John forbade him, saying, I need to baptize thee. How comest thou to me? And Jesus said, sorry to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. And then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he's baptized, went up straight out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Yeah. This is my beloved Son. Okay. Let's go over here to Matthew 17 and 5. And he says, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And his other scripture says, in whom I am pleased to dwell. That's one of the other scriptures, but I'm going to take you instantly to 2 Corinthians 5 instead of that in the gospel. 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. And verses 18 to 19. And all things are of God, who reconciled us to, by us to himself by Jesus Christ, who hath given us to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their sins unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Colossians 2. Verse 9. 10, is it? No, Colossians 2 and 9. Oh, I got Philippians. Can't get Philippians. 2 and 9. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Now, in there we understand that this one, now let's go back to Isaiah 42 again. And it says also, he giveth him a spirit without measure, fullness of the Godhead bodily. Behold my servant, mine elect, in whom my soul that I have put my spirit upon him. Now, many people, because they read in the Bible the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the deep, they think, well, God is God's Spirit, and out of him comes the Spirit. That's not true. God is Spirit. And when you speak of the Spirit of God, you're merely saying God is a Spirit. So when he's anointed, as Brother Branham correctly brought out, as I say correctly, not as I'm judging him, but I correctly have brought up the same thing, that God actually anointed Jesus with himself. See? Now, this one that you'll notice here, that one who appeared in flesh, that one who was the temple of God, is the same one to bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. Now, this is not judgment against the Gentiles, but judgment to the Gentiles. Let's go back to Isaiah 42. Because we've got to know our language, where we speak. Because right away, everybody wants to put this over in Isaiah 61 about the announcing the day of the judgment of God and forgetting what this is saying over here. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. Not on the Gentiles. Not against the Gentiles. But to the Gentiles. Now, notice. He shall bring. To bring is to come with something. Doesn't say he's going to send. Says he's going to bring. Okay? That's a big difference. Now, he shall come with something, judgment unto truth. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He's going to bring it forth. He is going to bring it. It's going to spring forth from his presence. Now, for he shall set judgment in the earth. The isles shall wait for his law. Notice verse 5 to 12 again. Thus saith the Lord God, he that created heavens and stretched them out. He that spread forth the earth. And he that cometh out of it, that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath to people upon it, spirit them that walk therein. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and keep thee and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open blind eyes, to bring up prisoners to prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will not give another, neither my praise to graven images. Behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare, before they spring forth, I will tell them to you. Sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise from the end of the earth. Ye that go down to the sea, and all that therein, that is therein, and the isles, the inhabitants thereof, let the wilderness and the cities thereof lift up their voice, the villages that Kedar doth inhabit, let the inhabitants of the rock sing, and he's our rock, you know, rock of Revelation 2, let them shout from the top of the mountain, let them give glory to the Lord, and declare his praise in the islands. Now, notice, did he personally come to Israel in grace? He certainly did. So why should he not come to the bride? Okay, let's find out. 1 Timothy, 6th chapter, beginning at verse 13. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickens all things, and before Jesus Christ, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this command without spot, unrebukable, unto the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now that's where he comes as a light, which in his time he shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, who alone hath immortality, dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto. They say he's going to dwell in the light. Till they're fine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, see? No man can approach. Doesn't say he can't approach the man. Said no man can approach. So therefore he's coming. That's what it's all about. No man has seen, nor can see. That's right. You can't see it. You can see a light, but that's all you can see. To whom be honor and power. Now he tells you that absolutely that one is coming to the Gentiles. Now, let's go to Malachi. Let's just find out if this what he says is true. See, all scripture's got a dovetailer, forget it. Matthew Malachi 4. Behold, the day cometh, verse 1, to burn his oven. All the proud, all the do wickedly, be stubble. The day that cometh shall burn up. Said the Lord of hosts, it'll even lead the root and branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and you'll go forth and drop the stamps of the saw. Now notice, judgment announced, yes. Grace undone, no. No way. The bride lives in grace to the end. There is never any cutting off at any time. It has been the seven spirits before the throne, the seven messages of God through seven messengers, through the seven spirits, which is the anointing on the word, through seven church ages. It never ceases until he stands right here. And it's in grace. See, this is what's wrong with Quincy. Send them the tape for all I care. They're still legalists. That's their trouble. And I don't fear one little bit to say it. That's what's always been wrong with that church. They're legal. Are you sitting here this afternoon as legalists? All right, bother everyone to tell me, Steve, one thing you can do to merit grace or put yourself in that resurrection. I think Steve's been a pretty good, clean living boy, but maybe not as good as some little kid sitting there. Tell me, son, you just tell me one thing your father's told you that you can do to put yourself in the rapture. No way. You're old enough to be in school, I think, so you understand a bit of language. Sarah, a few years ago, you wouldn't be accountable. You're accountable now. Tell me one thing you could have done. See? When did it ever change? When did it ever change? It doesn't change. Israel went from law to grace, and they flunked out. And they're under the grace of sovereignty of God. Not one will fail under the fifth seal to get there. But God turned from Israel. Not one time, the moment he came on the scene of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, and then at Corinth, to Peter, the same thing identical, did he ever turn from the Gentiles. That he stands at the door and knock, humbly pleading, I'm here, won't you let me help you? But when he goes with the price, the next appearing, too late. Because at the same time he's here in grace and mercy, and he's patient and won't let anything get between him and bringing that bride back to earth. The announcement goes out. Down the road, there's judgment. See? Yes, sir. Joel 2. After Hosea there. Let's read it. Fear not, O land, and be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. Fear not, O land. Listen, God's going to destroy them that destroy the earth. They've got this, what is it, PCB and all that junk out there. Michigan is so full of it, you wouldn't get me near there unless I had to go there. Louisiana's so full of it. Niagara's full of it. A high is not so bad off in some respects, but if you only knew, we'd need one to leave a high too. The earth is so polluted, and they're doing more and more of it for a dollar bill. One of them that joined house to house and land, corporations uniting and defrauding the worker because you can't even get a job. They took $112 or $15 billion off the money market in 2 years to do what? Destroy jobs. That's Reagan government, which is nothing but a spin-off of the Roosevelt regime. An ungodly stinking mess. Bringing on a depression. Despoiling the earth at the same time. And these men haven't even got their own money in these organs. These great complexes and great combines and great business enterprises. They're using somebody else's money. Woe unto them. They're going to burn in the lake of fire. And they withheld the wages. Money has one purpose, to be reinvested to bring jobs. But they've done it to build bigger and bigger empires like the devil did.
Amen.
But it's going to go down. One day we're going to, these same men are going to look at the devil that tricked them. And they're going to say, are you the stupid little jerk that had us all fooled? Merciful God, weren't you a bunch of asses? It'd be too late.
Amen.
Tricked by a dollar bill. Money, popularity, women. Yeah. Joel, be not afraid, ye beasts of the field. The pasture runneth through spring. Trees bear fruit, the fig trees, the vine yield their strength. When? In the millennium. Be glad, ye children of Zion, that's the bride. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Sure. Trumpet's going to be blown, prophet blows it. Because we're Zion, rejoice the Lord your God. He gave you the former rain moderating, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter, in the first, not first month. No. As in the very first. The original word restored. The floor shall be full of wheat. Fat as in his hand, gathers wheat in the garner. Who's doing it? He, God, is doing it. Shall the righteous perish with the wicked? No! Who said that? Elohim said it! Not Jesus the man. In whom God dwelt, Elohim said it. Who's down here with the fan in his hand separating righteous and wicked? God is. I'm going to restore you the years that locust ate, the canker and the caterpillar sent among you. You'll eat and penny and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God. Notice how that name's in there. And in his name shall the Gentiles trust. Well, you say, what name is that? That's the name I got. I'm part of Mrs. Jesus. Yeah, I can get any Isaiah in some of these scriptures. We're not into these things yet. We're going to get into them. I feel good. I don't know about you. I felt good last time. I feel good now, too. I always feel good when I preach. If you don't like it, well, just stick around so I can feel good. Who gives a rip about you? I mean, that's a fact. You don't want to feel good? Who gives a rip? I don't give a rip. Well, I don't meet your sauerkraut and beans. I'm eating on the manna. I think it's great. I don't loathe this manna. My soul loves it. Oh, sure, it's not like this crud out here that's all spiced up with junk. He'll eat and pay and praise the name of the Lord your God that had dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed, and you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel. And I am the Lord your God and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed, and that's to the Gentiles. Coming in the midst of Israel at that day when he stands there, they'll be scared stiff. Yep. You bet. Those two prophets will do their mighty work and they'll knock them down. Finally, after so many days of prophesying, they'll kill them. Then God will have a little resurrection to show them, hey, it's all over, boys. You killed the wrong guys. You've always been doing it. You should have killed your own bums off. He said, afterward, I'll pour my spirit upon all flesh. That's the time, the anointed ones at the end time. And right after that comes the great tribulations right here in the word sequence. See? That's exactly Acts 3. Oh, I love Acts 3. Well, you can sure tell some places I like in the Bible better than other places. That's until I get some more places. All right, when times refreshing shall come, the Prince Lord, the great healing revival, Even he shall send Jesus Christ, which is appointed, whom the heavens must retain to the restitution and restoration of all things. Tells you right there. Who's going to do it? God, because he doesn't think over the Gentiles. I'm going to get him out of their mess, he said. If you don't believe it, come on. Let's read over here a message of grace in Revelation chapter 3. To the Laodicean church age, unto the messenger, here's his message. I know your works are neither hot and cold. I would your God, you're hot or cold, because you're neither, you're lukewarm, I'll speak out of my mouth. Because you see, I'm rich and increased with goods and needing nothing, and knows not you're wretched, miserable, poor, naked, and blind. I cast you by me, gold tried in the fire, you may be rich, white raiment, you may be clothed, shame and nakedness do not appear, and anoint the eyes with thine salve. Shamed in his presence like Adam, caught right in the act. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hear my voice, know there I'll come in him, something to meet me. Knocking at the door, he won't let us go. Seven thunders, eh? Prophet rapped seven times. Seven thunders to wake up the bride. She's in there sleeping. That Songs of Solomon, come on! Get your scripture together. Open the door. We'll sit down and eat. Him that overcometh, he that's got enough brains to open the door, let me in to come out of Babylon. You'll sit with me in the throne as I am set down now. He crawled, went off the mercy seat, took the book out of the hands of him on the throne, ripped off the seals, handed it back, and climbed on the throne. Bless God, that's Melchizedek, high priest king. What are you waiting for? Priest in Columbus, I mentioned how that he is here. In him is the millennium, in him is all this. And I said, wait, wait for the millennium. It's already here in him. Preacher, I was right down the road. He said, son-in-law, he said, I don't know what he said. Does he think the millennium's already here? Merciful God, if this is the millennium, you can eat it. But in him who is here is the millennium.
Amen.
And I am assured of it. Because he opened the door, heard the thunders. It is exactly as Brother Branham said, the Holy Spirit coming more and more into the church. And now all in all is here. That which is perfect has come. Oh, they don't believe that around the country. And they don't want any grace. They say, oh, one poor little kid, he said, I was only 4 years old when the seals opened. I can't be saved. That's the junk they're preaching in Pennsylvania. You can figure who that come from. What do you want to take away grace from anybody for? You're going to tell me that just because you say something, some cockeyed preacher, some nitwit, some blasphemer, some Jesus only, the cult stands up and denies these things of God, that they're true. No, they're not true. They're lies from the pit of hell. Grace does not run out for the bride. He's saved to completion, perfection. That was just perfect in here. Sure. You love him?
Amen.
I stand up here and get tough. That's okay. I love him. That's why I'm tough. That's because I love him. Love's your off. Oh, don't anybody come around here and fool us. That's why this pope was closed. I almost have to open this week, but it's closed. I'm going to preach Wednesday myself.
Amen.
Whatever preach, I don't know. The good bishop here will preach, one of the two of us. ain't going to be nobody coming here. Not at this point. No way, shape, or form. You people better know this word. You're going to know this word. You'll know everything I know.
Praise the Lord.
By the grace of Almighty God. You see, grace, 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 the headstone was brought forth with screams. Grace, 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 not condemnation, judgment, grace. We're not appointed under condemnation and wrath. Hallelujah. How can a husband be a covert and then put his wife through it? Merciful God, she has enough trouble with childbearing. Church was here to bring him forth in flesh again. Come on. He doesn't go through this hell on earth. She gets away from it. That which is perfect has come. Sure. Who is perfect but God, and what is God but the Word? Revelation 10:1-7 says it. And 1 Corinthians 15:20-27 says it. Now listen. This one, what he did, brings us nothing but grace. And brings us right back to earth here in the first resurrection. to take over the millennium, to eyeball the Antichrist, to walk on their asses, and institute the kingdom of God on earth with Jesus as our head. Now listen, that one right now that paid the price of sitting on the throne, while God, Elohim, is down here, bringing everything under his feet, and the bride coming into the subjection of knowledge and unity of a love life. Yeah. You talk about grace, brother, sister. If it's been seven ages of grace and grace piled on grace, we have come to the mountain of grace. Oh, come on, let's read it. You're not ready to go home for 16 more hours, best God. I'm just getting wound up to wind. Don't worry, I'm going to wind down. Come on, let's read it over here in Hebrews 12. For you are not come unto the mount that might be burned. You're coming to another mount. And burned with, that might be touched, and burned with fire. Oh, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, the voice of words, which voice that they heard entreated that the word should not be spoken them anymore. Well, when you get tired of presence, and logos, logos, go on home before I throw you out.
Amen.
I'm going to get you to deed this place over to me so I can throw out those. That... You said a while ago we might have to do that. Not that you said that. You said if it made me feel any at more at ease, you'd deed the place over. Didn't say to me, you said to the church, but I'll become the church. I'm going to tell, listen, brother, we're not fooling anymore. This pulpit is free. This place is unbound.
Amen.
By the grace of God, through the only through the Holy Spirit will it stay that way. And it's going to stay that way by the grace of God, not by leaving. No, I ain't got nothing to do with it. Listen, they entreated the word should not be spoken, for they could not endure that which was commanded. And as so much as the beast touched the mountain, it shall be stoned, it shall through with his dart. And so terrible a sight, and then Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. But you are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus. Oh, it's all in there. They're all there. God is there. Jesus is there. We're there. Mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkled speaketh better things than that of Abel. He refused not him to speak it. For if they escape not, he refused to speak on earth. Much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him to speak from heaven. That's the one that came down. The thunder thundered on earth. Whose voice then shook the earth and now promised, saying, yet once more I shake the earth, not only, but also heaven. And this word yet once more signifying the removing of those things that are shaken, as of those things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. We therefore receiving nothing but a kick in the neck and a club on the head. There's no more grace. Wherefore we receiving a kingdom. Yeah, at this time. At this time of the announcements of the day of vengeance, at this time the announcing of all these things coming, this time the announcing everything getting shaken down, it says, hallelujah, we got a kingdom. Oh, brother, sister. If this isn't real, don't ask me what is. Mercy, mercy, mercy. We receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have law and judgment. There's grace. I told you. I told you there's no cessation, just get better death.
Amen.
Oh, the devil thought he had Jesus down there, but Jesus got out. The devil thought he had the church, but she climbed out of the ground. Justification, sanctification, baptism, restoration of gifts, and now all in all is here. Oh, brother, sister, let's understand God is here, and we got a kingdom. Whereby through grace, and Terry said it, grace is God plus nothing. That's what they hate. Now the word's going around, we're splitting churches. I got news for you. I never split from Quincy over this doctrine. I split because of sin. Because I want a thunder cross through. Nobody full of the Holy Ghost tells premeditated malicious lies.
Amen.
Now, if you get a hand caught in the cookie jar, I can forgive that, and so does God. But there's something else here. We serve God, except with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. What's he doing? Consuming every bit of dross out of us. Burning it all out.
Oneness. You've got to get with the Word. Get yourself killed out. I am persuaded that many of us friends have received the Holy Ghost, but we just receive enough Holy Ghost in us to make us to the place where we don't want to lie, steal, or do anything. That's your bunch of legalists with the Holy Ghost, if they got it. But God wants to fill every fiber of His church. He wants to fill your thinking, and He wants to fill your mind. He wants to fill every bit of you. Just make you completely, totally dead to yourself or your thinking. Just so surrendered in God, till His Word just living right through you. You don't know nothing else but God's Word. Just stay right with His Word. It's His life. Now, a lot of people think that's to be obedient. How are you going to be obedient if you haven't got it in you? If it's not living through you. It's His life. My words are life, said Jesus. He's placed with them teachers, believing the Bible, prophets that say the truth, that say, show the same prophecy that they are always, that there always was down through the age. In other words, whatever prophets today will say the same thing that the prophet said. What's He done? He's showing Himself alive among them, confirming His Word. His Word, the kingdom of God, is God's Word made power. In other words, there's no way the kingdom of God is going to be here until God's Word's made power. In other words, it lives. Yep. This is God's oneness. When you, the Spirit that you've got, agrees with the Word and manifests this Word and makes this Word power to act the same way it did. Oneness with God is to have God's Spirit in you agreeing with the Word, all the Word, the whole Word, to make it manifested in power. There you are. That's oneness with God. Now, a few says right there, well, hey, I'm going to have a gift of healing. Who said it? What makes you think you're the one? Well, I'm going to be this. Who said? He's not talking about individuals. He's talking about the body made up of individuals where that Word has the common property and life of a body. You've got to come to this Word here. And people don't want it. When they reject grace, you see, it's never been anything but grace. But now it's the greatest grace of all. All right. It is also. Where am I into here? Oh. Can't go too fast. Can't go too slow. Okay. We are in here to that. We might as well just cut back here now to Isaiah 42. Because that's our subject. I'll just cut a little bit out here. And go back to that because there's no never mind. Isaiah 42 again. And we read here, mine elect, he shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. Now, this word judgment means judiciously pronounced, verdict, formal decree, divine law. Verse 2, he shall not cry lovely voice and so on. It won't be a man. It'll be the Spirit of God. Verse 3, the bruised reed he won't break, and so on, till he does it. It shows the stability and the certainty because it comes forth unto truth. And he lets you know here at this time that his Word doesn't lie. I don't care what happens to it in the hands of men. See? Don't care what they do. The Reader's Digest, put a new Bible up. Well, they'll pay the price for it. Fourth verse. He shall not fail till he has set judgment on the earth. And the isle shall wait for his law. The word law is precept, especially as in the Decalogue. But he's not the one to bring the Ten Commandments to us. Because the Ten Commandments said, thou shalt not steal. Everybody can steal. And they said, don't do it. So he's a thief to begin with. Thou shalt not covet. Everybody can covet. So he's a coveter to begin with. Don't do it. But he's going to bring forth truth. See? Now, then, what he brought forth then is what man is of himself. But what he brings forth today is what man is through God.
Amen.
See, there's your reflection again. See? The precepts. Now watch. Isaiah 42 and 6. I, the Lord of common races, will hold thine hand, keep thee, and give thee for a covenant to the people, a light for the Gentiles. Especially the B part. A covenant to the people and a light to the Gentiles. Okay. First, we'll go over here to Hebrews 6. and 13. And when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swear by himself, saying, surely I will bless thee, and multiply thee. Keep reading. Have ye patient endurity obtained the promise? For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath of confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Now that says if you give your word, that does it. But that doesn't do it. Wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his word, intervened himself. Now, let me tell you, God didn't just send a prophet. William Brown said, hey, I got news from you. Thus saith the Lord so-and-so. God came down and God's doing it. Didn't just give a word. No way, shape, and form. God came down and did it. The same as in Revelation 10:1. A mighty angel with the rainbow on his head came down at the time of the prophet. Matthew 24. And 23. Then if any man shall say, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christ, lying prophets, shall grow great signs and wonders, inasmuch where possibly shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say, behold, in the desert, don't go there. No need to go there. No need to go there. No need to go to secret chambers. Don't fool with that stuff. Because if you don't see the light, you never see it anyplace else. Tells you why. Tells you how. For as lightning comes out of the east and shines to the west, even so shall the presence of the Son of Man be. He's going to be here for the Gentiles.
Amen.
See? Just before judgment. It is He Himself, the Holy Spirit. That's the Jesus we're talking about. The true Jehovah Savior, not the Jesus in flesh, wasn't. But you got to understand, Hebrews 13:8, the same yesterday, today, and forever cannot apply to the man. Per se, it's got to apply to God.
Amen.
Because Jesus changed from what he was here on earth. His body hasn't got blood anymore in it. He goes through walls. He couldn't do that before. See? He's a high priest. He wasn't that before. See? All of these things show that one we're talking about is here. That one Almighty God, the great anointing himself is here. Now, verse 7 of Isaiah. Open blind eyes. That's Laodicea. Open prison. That's the Lucifer from our creeds and dogmas so he can stand in full view. All right. Get us out of the prison house. Come out of Babylon, my people, that ye be partakers of her sins. The mighty messenger did it. Isaiah 42. Going back and reading it. 8-9. I am the Lord, that is my name, my glory, not your another. Neither am I praised to graven images. Behold, the former things are come to pass. The new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you. All right. What is it going to be? Sing a new song to the Lord. And in there is the millennium. See? We don't look for the tribulation, no way. We look for the millennium. In him is the resurrection and the millennium. And like the great Roman candle that came down in the river in July 11th, 1933, it began moving like the great Roman candle. Until now, the full power of God is in the midst of the people. And in him is everything. So we see our promise for the hours. Others won't. They can only go the rigid way of creeds and dogmas. Remember, God said at the end time, I'll kill her children with death. The last plague is spiritual death. And what is spiritual death? To turn down God. Sure. What about that spirit? You say, well, just a minute. Israel went out of the promised land. Egypt died. But you say, what about those that fell at Baal Peor? They died. You know why? Because they sacrificed unto death. What was death? Unbelief. Where did it come from? She just believed one word. What was the act? Sex. Baal Peor pardon me, is where they worship the female. Not the male. They worship the female in a sex act. Exactly what it is. And that's where that's where death came from. That's where death is now. They went out. Now, the same thing today. There are those who come out, but there are those who will not go in. No way. Spiritual death hits. And when it does, there's no more repentance. Because that's what it says in Hebrews, the 6th chapter, which I won't go into. Get back to Isaiah 63 and I'm going to close. Isaiah 63. Who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah? Is this that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength? I speak in righteousness, mighty to say. Wherefore art thou red in thine apparel, thy garments like him that treadeth the wine fat? I have trodden the winepress alone, the people there was none with me. For I will tread them in mine anger, and travel in my fury. Their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garment, and I will stain all my raiment. For the day of vengeance is in my heart, and the year of my redeemed has come. Notice, vengeance and redemption. That's right. The day of grace closes up with grace, my brother, my sister. And when it does, there's nothing left but trouble, vengeance. And I looked, and there was none to help. And I wondered, there was none to uphold. Therefore, mine own arms brought salvation unto me, and my fury upheld me. Notice, salvation and fury. And I will tread down the people in anger, and make them drunk in my fury, and I will bring down their strength to the earth. Telling you what's going to happen the last day. Grace does not run out to the bride. Grace is multiplied. To where that one will take us right into immortality. Bypass death. Though it is appointed unto man once to die, man can't die. Because God comes down and stops it. Swallowed up in a victory. See? I'll mention loving kindness of the Lord. I'll read a little more. The praise of our God according to all the Lord bestowed on us. And the great goodness toward the house of Israel, which bestowed on them according to his mercy and according to the multitude of his loving kindnesses. For he said, surely they are my people, children that will not lie. There it is. You say you're born again and tell deliberate lies. You better get your mouth washed up with soap. Better of all, you better get the blood of Jesus Christ applied to your heart. In all their affliction, he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and his pity, he redeemed them. He bare them, carried them all the days of old. That's exactly our truth today, brother, sister, that same angel of his presence. In other words, the messenger of the presence of God. Let me tell you something. The messenger of the presence of Lee Dale would have to be Lee Dale. Because I'm present. I'm here to tell you my own story. Then who's here? God's here. Who's he with? Prophet. What's he veiled in? He was veiled in the pillar of fire. That's only the prophet could see him. But now he's veiled in the Word. And with every creed and dogma stripped aside, he stands in full view. There is our mercy seat. There's our great Redeemer. See, that's the Word of God, brother, sister. You can't change it. No way. And who'd want to change it anyway? I wouldn't want to change that for hundreds of billions of dollars. No one could buy that. Because that's a grace, amazing grace. How sweet the sound, the Savior. I mean, I once was lost. But now I'm found was blind, but now I see. I once was saved and blind. Blind and saved at the same time. The Bible also done so blind as my righteous servant. That's him. God deliberately closes his eyes and turns his back. Who dares lay a charge against God's elect? You say, that means, Brother Bill, I can do anything? No way. If you're born again, you won't want to do it. But Brother Branham said, look, you got to the place where you don't want to steal, cheat, lie, and do these things. That's right. Commit adultery, go up there and do these wrong things. Nobody wants to do that if you got peace. That's all the Holy Ghost you do have at this point, he said. But he said, we need the Holy Ghost that takes every word. Says amen to it.
Amen.
Receives that word until the life in that word, which is the Holy Spirit, is released. You say, what's it going to make me? It's going to make you the living Word of God. How? I don't know. I just told you the best I could. What's it going to make you do? I don't know. That's up to God. Because the body's still the body. But I'll tell you what it will do. It'll bring the horizontal into the vertical. A vertical into the horizontal, rather. And there won't be anybody turning it down. There won't be anybody trying to interfere. Listen, I've got words right today, and I can prove by witnesses those words were said. I'm going to get between Lee Vail and the people. Then if you get, some man got between, listen, let's get this straight there, brother. I'm not telling a lie, right?
Amen.
I'm not telling a lie. God is my judge, and here's the Bible open before me. If any man gets between Lee Vail as a minister and the people, and my ministry from the vertical to the horizontal is this word of God, somebody will answer to God. You wonder why I've been upset and angry? And you wonder now if certain words you said, I just go right to the ceiling? I've told every man in here, I'm pointing my finger, I've told you. And Roy and I had a long conversation. I've known all along that men tried to get between me and God and the people. Nobody. No.
Praise the Lord.
I'll die first. I'm going to tell you something. Nobody can.
That's right.
Amen.
Because God's too big. No, I'm nobody myself. I admit that. I'm not trying to say it because look, I don't. You can go anytime you want. I told you I paid Brother Evans $5,000. We'll pay for all the materials paid for already, and we'll bulldoze the place down. See, nobody's pulling my bluff. Because I haven't got a bluff to be pulled. Because I'm standing with other bluff. I'm standing here in the knowledge of my God. That I believe Him. And He never told me wrong once. But He did tell me one thing. He did tell me I'd be ministering northeast. And a right angle. Isosceles right angle triangle. If I live in the south, the hypotenuse will be directly northeast. And this place is exactly 3 miles east of 235. And 235 north where it cuts 47 is exactly 3 miles from DeGraff. Then the hypotenuse forms and points in the direction of exactly northeast. I don't know what God told you people. It's up to you. You say, Brother Bill, what if I go? Well, if you go, I still may not bulldoze it. I may stand and preach to the four pillars. One, two, three. I think I can find four. Do you love the Lord's name?
Amen.
You see, look, His word doesn't fail. The prophet said He was obligated to do for the Gentiles. He didn't say that He was going to come back and die on the cross. They crucified themselves the Son of God afresh. But when He positively showed that He was that one who was here in Galilee 2,000 years ago, and they turned down the words of His mouth, which come by a prophet, because Jesus Himself was a prophet. Come on, you can't deny that. Don't go making Him God in the full sense of God, period. Give Him His offices. Give Him His title. Give Him His reverence. Show that you know Him. He was a prophet. And He proved He was by vindication. He was that prophet that Moses spoke of. Then He was that man that Moses spoke of. Now He's that priest that was spoken of. And He's coming king in just a minute or two. I'm going to tell you a little secret. Because I like to tell you things that I know in my heart are coming. A few years ago, I was quite puzzled as to the effect of the pull of the resurrection, the gravitational pull. I'm going to tell you, I believe, from what He dropped into my heart recently, that I have never looked at or even heard anybody ever look at. They have just looked at it and gone right by. That I believe that we are one step, if not already being pulled completely into the resurrection. Which could mean the last one is in and child trained. I don't know. But whatever I tell you will signify this, that you are very, very close to everything that brings the resurrection out. And I'm very glad because, I see, in my heart I don't want, and in my revelation I don't want a part of that resurrection. I want to bypass it completely. Now, that's true. Now, sure, I'd like to die and get out of here. Who wouldn't? Because it's just a continuation, and it's the best of all. Right? Sure. But look, I'm not a prophet. God knows, but I wouldn't lie to you. I'm not lying to you, and I'm not grinding an axe. No way. No way am I saying anything to you. But I'm ready to stand here and say, I believe by the grace of God, I'm telling you the truth. The best I know how is someone who does not stand in the foot of a prophet, shoes of a prophet, but who does have a little ministry, a little gift. Brother, sister, look, it's closer than you think. I'm getting very happy about the fact. Now, sure, it may take a year or two. I don't know. Look, I've been fooled before about time because I'm human. Too human, in fact, to get too excited to think, well, hey, you know, the mother says, you know, next, you know, Johnny, when you're 8 years old, I'm going to buy you that little moped. Well, Johnny's only four, but do I get the moped when he's five? Do I get my wife six? Six and a half? Six and three quarters? I mean, come on, every day he wants the moped. Because he figures he's 8 years old tomorrow, he's going to get the moped. Now look, I'm that way with the things of God, I admit it. But you know something? I don't believe it this time. I don't believe it. I believe something's happening. Somebody's going to go. I want to go. I believe I'm going to go. We all do. Let's rise. Merciful God, dear Heavenly Father, we certainly do praise you and appreciate the fact we've been here this afternoon amongst the people of God who bring your Spirit with them and the desire to hear the Word, which opens up fountains, Lord, to bring forth the Word. And we appreciate that very much. For, Lord, without the people, there'd be nothing. And I have not meant to say to them for 1 minute that they should not come or would not come or this or that. I merely made my stand, and by the grace of God, being my brothers and sisters and loving us as we love them, I believe they make their stand also that they're going to be here as long as they can be here with us in this building to worship and glorify your name and put everything aside but the goodness and grace of Almighty God. Lord, bless each one, I pray. Oh, God, just bless each one, Lord. Bless each one. Bless each one. Take away the cares of the heart at this hour, Lord. Roll away the cares of the mind, Jesus, and roll away above all anything which is petty. We realize there are things which are contradictory, which cannot be rolled away, and we simply accept them and say, well, they don't exist, forget it. We know these things, but Lord, let this be the rolling off. You had back in your day when people just had that rolling off ceremony. They came to place a rolling off. They rolled off everything. They just rolled it off. Lord, today, by your grace, by your help, we're just rolling off everything, Lord, just rolling it off and then kicking it downhill, bless God. Letting it fall into the pit, which has no bottom. Just keep falling. Don't even want to hear the splash of it. Don't want to hear anything about it. Just want to hear it once and for all. Father, we want that in our lives. By your grace, Lord, we accept it. We receive it this afternoon. By your grace, Lord, we do that. We've taken one last look of everything and forget it. And put our eyes now on what you told us, that which is for the bride, which is the blessed Son of God. May we begin to view him, our Redeemer, our Lover, that man, born as no one was ever born, having God as the Father as no one ever did. That one way back there, coming down, taking upon himself that form to die for us, and he did it. He actually did it and now stands there. Absolutely. Waiting. Knowing the establishment of grace in a mighty empire on earth. Just fantastic, fantastic, fantastic. We love you, Lord. We have to love you because it just dissolves our hearts and minds in the wonderment of the grace and love of God. Thank you for everything, Lord. We praise thee and bless thee now and forevermore in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord bless you. What we're going to do now is let you go, and I know that I don't suppose you're any more hungry than me, which means you're not hungry, but like me, you can always eat, which you shouldn't do it. So you'll go up, you'll go on upstairs if you like now, and women, you ladies, just watch the kids now, best you can, without, you know, hitting them too hard so they blank out, you know, I don't think like that. But you could hold them by the hands or get someone else to, and they'll give you little goodies upstairs, and it won't be too long for this reason. I want you to come back so I can talk to you about some business things, such as it's time that we put the church in order. We'd like our deacons to be installed today and not trustees necessarily. And some things brought up that I want you to have a part in, that's the women as well as the men, that there won't be a spiritual meeting in the house of God. It's going to be a spiritual meeting in the sense we'll conduct ourselves as Christians. But we want to talk about things, what further work we want done, if any more, some things that we might feel should be done, if so, when and how. And these things I want you to share, because I'm going to be honest, I'm not running exactly scared, but look, don't feel bad, but I know people, and you know me, and I know you. Now, we love each other. But we thought we did the same thing at other churches, too. And always there's an element when somebody does too much, and I've been doing too much, but you're not going to get away with it. You're going to get charged for it, because not this time. Not this time. Because always it gives place for the devil to rise up and cause problems. So I want everyone here, and I want everyone to have a voice. And if you can do something, you'll do it. And if you can't, you can't. And nobody gives a rip. But you're going to have a voice. And your voice is going to go on record. Maybe not on tape, but it's going to go on record before God. And there'll be no looking down the road later and forgetting the 27 things are written out which should be done. And everybody forget them. And people, the devil start getting at me through just the very thing I tried to do it was right. Now let's understand. You understand what I'm saying? We're not taking any chances in this church, right? Are you with me? Now come on, look me in the eye. Don't go looking around your kids. I want a direct answer. Are you with me or aren't you with me on this? We're going to get things straightened out. Because look later down the road, you're going to pay a price you don't. And remember, it could be a very bad price. Because God does not look kindly upon things done in a row which shouldn't be done. Now, I'm not accusing you, because there's nobody I'm accusing. I'm just saying how things happen. And it isn't going to happen if we can help it. Now, I'm not saying it won't happen. But look, if we can help it, we're going to get everything ironed out here. You ask any question you want. Rusty's here. He doesn't know what's in the books any more than I do. Russell doesn't need it. We can always go get the books right if we need them. I don't know anything going on. And up to this point, we're just messing around. So, okay, you be prepared to come back. Now, I hope I haven't hurt your feelings. Because if I have, you know, you're just plumb too touchy. You're worse than me. And merciful God, that is a horrible situation. My wife will tell you. So, you're dismissed. You go and have a little lunch. And we'll come back. Oh, it's 4:45. Let's try to make this, by 5:30. The very latest. Okay, you're dismissed.